It's the Sportszilla Show.
I'm doing something positive to try and help. People really need this right now.
Check out the James Mitsubishi Sportszilla Show podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at ESPN Syracuse, at ESPN UR, and at ESPN Sportszilla.
These are unprecedented times.
The Sportszilla Show from 2 to 4 with Rain and Matt on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. This is the game plan, but some people say it's the crapshoot.
Good afternoon, everybody. Actually, I gotta.
Why are you yelling?
As an homage to Brent X, I'm actually gonna ask Stephen Bailey from 24/7 Sports. We previewed that yesterday. Peeps in the Twitch chat were like, "Nice" when we said that. About 2:30. That's when we'll open up the Accelerate Sports Complex phone line today. I'm gonna ask him about, well, roster construction of the SU basketball team as it compares to the football team. Basically, Axe was saying, our radio brother was saying, that there's the basketball team right out in front of everything that's been going on with the transfer portal, right? And what are we going to do next year? And we're, I guess the announcement is imminent, and we're waiting for the Jimmy Boeheim decision. I've been refreshing like crazy, trying to just make sure I get that notification whenever it pops. Mark Larson told us yesterday, as he talked to Jimmy Boeheim today or tomorrow, probably. So there's that, and then on the other side of that, you juxtapose that against the football team off a 1-10 season. It's kind of been operating a little bit more in the shadows. You haven't heard as much or seen as much of Dino Babers, and it was an interesting point that Brent made, and I want to get Stephen Bailey's opinion on that, and I'm just going to say straight up, I will not disagree with Brent Axe. I just wish I saw a little bit more of Dino and the football team, and maybe we'll poke the bear a little bit and make that change. My name is Rain. You're the glue guy. That's Matt Page. We're waving to everybody at Q Sports Talk on twitch.tv. We'll get a Twitch poll out there. We'll get in those comments with you during our radio commercial breaks. We go for a couple of hours. So let me back up Stephen Bailey with Tim Capstraw, Capper, voice of the Brooklyn Nets. Crazy. We get him locked in, and then LaMarcus Aldridge abruptly retires. There's a heart issue. Then there's that load management conversation we brought up yesterday, and then Alan Hahn's talking about it today. Mike Greenberg's talking about it today. It's an issue again.
Yes, it is.
It's not just in the NBA. So those are some of the things we'll get to. Nico Tamurian will join us at about 3:30. You know who Nico Tamurian is, right? We got to talk about the Jim and Julie Boeheim Foundation. We got to talk about Samir Torrance and his brother and more on the Jimmy Boeheim transfer watch. He might know something that we don't. I don't know what he'll tell us.
I'll say maybe he can't disclose that info.
Yeah, might keep that close to vest. Talk about TBT with him, too.
92 days.
Yeah, there's a lot that we want to get to. And, of course, I did not leave off. Up next in our second segment after our first break is Spencer Davidson with Odds Makers. We'll get to Does It Matter in just a couple minutes. Your Kill Me Smalls is on the way today at about 2:45. And soundcheck at 3. But it's transfer watch, man. I'm on lock, waiting to find out what Jim Jr.'s decision is. I'm very interested in the WNBA draft, 7 o'clock ESPN tonight. Where will Tiana Mangakaya end up? What are the predictions, Glue Guy? I know you know this.
So in ESPN mock draft has her going in the third round and being the third pick, so is the 27th overall in the WNBA draft tonight, going to the Atlanta Dream.
Oh, wow, I hope that happens.
I actually hope she goes to the New York Liberty.
Oh, who was it Ionescu last year that went number one to the Liberty overall?
That's a good question.
I believe that's correct. It's out of the memory bank. There's been a pandemic in the last year, and I just forget the order of the WNBA draft. That's my bad. I should know. I should have taken that
we
note
should have known, yeah,
and written it down. Did you hear that Michael Jordan is going to be presenting Kobe Bryant when he is inducted in the Hall of Fame? They waived they waived everything, and he's automatically inducted, as I think many of you know, and you kind of had to assume that was going to happen.
Well, no, he was going to be inducted last year, but because of the pandemic, there wasn't an induction.
So it got pushed off?
Yes,
oh, okay,
yes.
That's how it broke down. Needless to say, the first chance they get to induct him, they're inducting him. Could it have been anybody else?
No, I don't think so.
Should it have been his wife?
Possibly, or should it have been Pau Gasol?
Could it have been Pau Gasol?
Shaq?
Really good, yeah. Could it have been Phil Jackson? You agree?
That would have been awesome.
If you agree with any one of my options or not, you can let us know. Is there anybody else besides MJ? Maybe that's the first Twitch poll that should induct Kobe Bean Bryant into the National Basketball Hall of Fame. I'm going to rack my brain thinking of some other names, but
actually our Twitch poll.
I can't settle on anything else. Okay, it'll be the second Twitch poll. What is the first that's
never
already...
mind, they canceled it.
They deleted it on us? What was it going to be? No, now I want to know what it was.
Where do you think Tiana ends up?
We could go with that too. All right.
It's too late. It's already been deleted.
Can we...
See, this is what happens. The powers that be, whoever it is, could be Jordan, could be Justin, could be Jeremiah, putting up a Twitch poll.
Yeah.
And then they delete it because you're like, oh, we should do this instead.
Oh, okay. Well,
so I blame you.
So I don't supersede anything, man. You go, you're running it. You go with what you got. And if I suggest something, you just throw that up there after. They expire in about 10 minutes. We got to talk some NFL today. I can't wait to get to some of this audio that I have for you. I'm going to back up what I was saying about load management, but I think right now, why don't we just get to some questions? It's the Sports Illa Show on ESPN Radio. Matt is going to ask me some questions and we'll go from there.
Does it matter? It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Does it matter?
Does it matter that it's Jackie Robinson Day?
I'm glad you brought that up. It absolutely does. I love that they pay homage. You know, and
it kind of sucks, though, that the Yankees aren't playing today.
Yeah, so if you don't play on Jackie Robinson Day, obviously your next game you pay tribute, the entire team does, to Jackie Robinson. You got to keep that legacy alive for some pretty obvious reasons. I thought it was cool. I was listening to Greeny earlier, who's talking about Larry Doby. I'm not going to break down and I'm not going to educate you on the history of who Larry Doby is. Greeny did a great job with that. Hey, but if you want something to Google and look into, it's pretty significant, his contribution to Major League Baseball. Yeah, I think it's pretty awesome. I do. I always love things like that. I always appreciate when Jackie Robinson Day, or when you pay tribute to an all-time great or somebody significant within a sport. I just love when that happens. It's also my youngest daughter's birthday today.
That's kind of cool.
Yep. I promised her when I went to Dunkin' Donuts with her this morning, because that's what she wanted. She wanted Dunkin' Donuts before school, so we had a little father-daughter time. I promised her that I would take her there, and so, yeah. And I would mention it. So there you go. There's no way in hell she's listening to this, but I promised her I would mention that. Does it matter that I'm waiting?
What?
Next question.
Oh, you want me to ask the next question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As much as it pains me to say this, the Knicks have won 4 in a row and they are 2 games over 500. Does that matter to everyone except for you?
Well, I'm glad that you brought up the Knicks, because Alan Hahn is somebody that I will share audio with at 3:00. May or may not be pertaining to that subject. But yeah, I think it does. They're getting up and in and around that sixth position in the Eastern Conference and locking up a playoff spot. And I will die on this hill that is a team you should be scared to play. And I also think Tom Thibodeau is a coach of the year.
Wow.
I think Tom Thibodeau is coach of the year.
Coach of the year. That's high praise.
Give me another name, because I know you won't give me that, because I'm a Knicks fan, and that's the coach of my team. Please tell me it's Brad Stevens.
No, it wouldn't be Brad Stevens.
Who's coach of the year?
Would you put Vogel on that list because of him trying to keep the Lakers afloat?
No, Tom Thibodeau. Try again.
I got nothing.
That's it? That's the only one is Frank Vogel, the only other option?
The only one that comes to mind on the spot, yeah.
Ty Lue? That was a joke, by the way.
I was going to say, okay.
It's Tom Thibodeau. Man. Tom Thibodeau is winning coach of the year. If you don't agree with me...
But I think you're the only one voting, but continue.
Plenty will disagree. I want to hear about this in Q Sports Talk on twitch.tv. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me there isn't a coach that hasn't exceeded expectations and coached up his team to make them so much better than anybody thought. Nobody thought that they would be at this point. No.
Okay. Are you good?
It's 100% true. Next question, doesn't matter. ESPN Radio and the Sports Illa Show.
So we already touched upon it, but LaMarcus Aldridge retires to an irregular heartbeat. It is the same thing that Chris Bosh retired to.
Isn't it crazy how the narrative has changed on LaMarcus Aldridge, from speculating what his addition means to an already super team with the Brooklyn Nets? Tim Capstra, 315, voice of the Brooklyn Nets, to talk about that.
You couldn't have planned that any better, huh?
It just worked out that way. It sucks. It sucked for Chris Bosh, and it sucks for LaMarcus Aldridge. You don't want to see somebody's career end like that. There is now talk in Portland, specifically Dame's pushing for this. I'm sure Carmelo would probably agree. But retire that number there. We were talking about Edelman's number getting retired. You said no, but he belongs in the Hall of Fame. I disagree.
Okay.
What's your next question?
Does it matter that the Seahawks sign Aldon Smith?
I'm going to ask you, does it matter? And tell me why.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's cool for them, but Aldon Smith is a little bit behind his prime years. So I feel like they're getting the guy, the name brand of the guy, not the guy's production anymore, if that makes sense.
I think it could work out better for the Browns signing Jadeveon Clowney for $10 million yesterday when it's all said and done. Ultimately, I think that might be a better signing and have more of a significant impact on the season overall.
No, I agree with you. I feel like Clowney's his potential is a lot higher than Aldon Smith.
What's your next question on Does It Matter, Glue Guy?
Does it matter that Kluber and Tyon have not looked good these past 2 days?
Yes, it's early. Yes, it's of concern because it's really everybody in the starting rotation other than Garrett Cole.
That's fair.
And that bothers me, but I'm willing to give them a chance to let it warm up a little bit and see if they can start to do a little bit better. Yeah, but it hasn't been good. It's been inconsistent. They are getting hit around. And, man, if you fire up, like I do, the cesspool of Twitter, specifically Yankees Twitter, Yankees fans are up in arms about this. It's just not fun, and it's probably going to be a long season if this doesn't get fixed quick.
And I'm seeing a lot of Red Sox fans having fun, having a field day with the Yankees not doing so well.
Yeah, thanks, because unbelievably, they're 9-3 and first in the American League East. No one saw that coming.
They get swept in the first series of the year and have won out since.
Yeah, they're 9-1 overall in their last 10 games. Cora coming back as manager clearly has a little something to do with that.
Is he the manager of the year?
In Major League Baseball? No, the Boston Red Sox can't win any postseason awards of any kind like that, and I'll also stick to that. And
I like how it took you like a second to actually think about it, and then, it's the Red Sox. No.
You can't convince me that I'm wrong at all. We're playing Doesn't Matter here on the Sports Hill Show. It's ESPN Radio with Rain and Matt, and I think we've got a chance for maybe one more.
So, talking about the NBA Hall of Fame, we talked about MJ presenting Kobe, and our Twitch poll is that right now. Who else should it be besides MJ? Kev from L Pool says his daughter.
His daughter would be a great
one. Yes,
it
would.
Wow.
Yeah.
You just got me. You got me verklempt.
I know.
Hit me in the feels.
The emotion.
I said Vanessa. We remember when she spoke at the memorial. That was tough. Hard to watch. But it makes sense. One of his children, they're still very young.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Man, that's a tearjerker waiting to happen. I don't know. Could we deal with that?
I don't think I could.
So are we moving on to a third MJ crying meme?
Possibly, yes.
On May 15th, when he inducts Kobe Bryant?
Yes. Well, we're not to what are the odds yet, but 100%.
I told you I wasn't going to do this, and I did it again. I told you I wasn't going to do this the second time, and I did it again.
Here I am.
Third time is a charm.
So a couple other inductions. KG will be inducted by Bad Boy Isaiah Thomas.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
How do you feel about that?
I just think it's awesome, and I hope that Isaiah and MJ fight, because I took that personally.
Yes.
We all saw the documentary. One more?
Does it matter that Tim Duncan will be presented by David Robinson?
I think that's perfect.
It is.
I think that's perfect. The only other consideration, would it be Popovich if that was the case?
Yes, I think so. I think it would have to be.
It would. No one else is of consideration. With Kobe, because he's passed away, there's so many different options. We'll pause right there. Spencer Davidson, going to play Odds Makers. We'll ask that question, what are the odds? It's our version of Bad Beats next on ESPN Radio.
It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt.
Get the f*** away from me. Okay, this has gone well. All right, should we take some calls?
Let's take some calls.
It's time for Bi-Weekly.
Can't wait.
With WKTV Sports Director Spencer Davidson.
It's really simple, Spencer. You and I are going to gang up on the Glue Guy right now because I think Tom Thibodeau is the coach of the year for what he has done with the New York Knicks. You and me, two against one. He cannot beat those odds. Tell him why I'm right.
I mean, he's taken a team that was expected to, once again, finish in the basement, that was written off, you know, a franchise that's a laughing stock of the NBA, and he's taken that team into the very thick of the playoff race, and honestly, you know, one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. He's gotten Julius Randle to have a career year, to look like an absolute superstar out there. You know, RJ Barrett broken out. He looks like he's, you know, ready to take on a star role here. He's gotten guys who, you know, a team that really for a long time has been a bunch of, you know, individuals, you know, guys on expiring contracts in this franchise. And he's laid down a foundation and built a core where the Knicks have not had in quite some time, where they've actually have a foundation and a core. I just think that the job that he's done has been absolutely incredible. And I just, you know, from where the Knicks were in the offseason and expected to be in the offseason and where they are now, I don't think you have another team that's had that dramatic of a turnaround in this short amount of time. And that's why I think Tom Thibodeau is the coach of the year.
I'm also 100%, by the way, those are the odds glue guy, in case you wanted the math. I also would like to declare that I watched Knicks Pelicans last night. So it was Zion and RJ Barrett, as you know, teammates at Duke. And all around, RJ Barrett is a better basketball player. I understand how dominant Zion is in the paint, but he is not a better all-around basketball player than RJ Barrett right now. Would you like to
chime in at all?
At all?
No, I think RJ Barrett is the better all-around player for today's day and age in the NBA. Spencer, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, look, Zion is just, you know, he's one of those freak of nature type of guys. And, you know, he can take over and be dominant. But, you know, right now, RJ Barrett, yeah, he's able to do so many different things. I mean, he's found his shot. He's found his range, you know, and he's found his confidence a bit, too. And I think defensively, you know, RJ Barrett, you know, has been pretty impressive, you know, throughout this year. And he's only improving in that. And so, yeah, I mean, look. When you have a chance at the Knicks and you have the, you know, chance at the number one overall pick to get a guy like Zion Williamson and you don't win the lottery, it's going to be disappointing. But being said, I'm not upset with the fact that they got RJ Barrett. I'll just say that because he's turning into quite an impressive younger.
So with the Comets winning the game last night, the Galaxy Cup series is now 4-2 in favor of the Comets. What are the odds you broke the clock in the first period?
0%. I had nothing to do with that. I try to make my presence not known there. I try to be just quiet and stand in the corner, shoot the highlights, and then get out of there. It was strange though, guys. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Look, in the times we're in, when there's an abrupt stoppage of a game, when there's you know, the teams go off the ice before, you know, the period ends. I mean, you know, the first thought is you're thinking the worst. Oh boy, was there a, you know, a positive test or something, or did something happen and this game is not going to be continuing. So, you know, it was a little tense in there for a few minutes. Nobody really knew what was going on. And honestly, you know, I was talking to Ben Burnell from the OD after the fact, and it's like, you know what, like we will gladly welcome a clock problem as opposed to any alternatives in this day and age. So I'm glad it was a strange moment, but I'm glad that it was a simple clock issue and that they were able to continue the final 2.5 minutes of the first period after the intermission and then go into the second and get back on track.
Yeah, Utica straight up, Syracuse Crunch, Utica Comets, Empire Recycling, Galaxy Cup here on the Sports Illust Show on ESPN Radio. Playing What Are the Odds with Spencer Davidson, sports director, of WKTV. Yeah, Comets now have a 4-2 season series lead six games into this, but a couple of days ago, you know, you brought up, you get nervous with the pandemic and COVID. So the Crunch come out and demolished in the second game back for the Utica Comets. So what are the odds that you expect that the Comets to then come back out and win these next two games? Yes, the benefit of being home and having, you know, 10% of capacity was there, but I don't think anybody would have predicted that. I would have seen a split maybe.
Yeah, no, completely. 100%. I thought, you know, the chances of them winning both games, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have put it at zero, but I would have put it at a low percentage, you know, like 20% maybe, because you would have figured, yeah. I mean, if anything, it's a back-to-back, you know, typically, you know, a team might come out on Tuesday and play really well. And then, you know, the other team responds on Wednesday. So I didn't expect them to sweep in the fashion that they did. But you know, it was really an impressive effort. You know, they really, especially yesterday, controlled the Comets, controlled the pace of play for much of the game. It looks like the Comets are much closer to the speed and the game speed that they were at before they had their month long pause. Their passes were crisper. You know, they just seem to be clicking a little bit more. So, you know, for the Comets, and if you're a Comets fan, that's a good sign moving forward. I thought last night the Crunch actually looked a little bit tired. Their passes weren't as crisp. You know, they kind of had a bunch of different miscues. So I was kind of surprised about that. The Comets looked like the fresher team last night in the second of a back-to-back. But I would not have expected that result. But, you know, if you're in Utica and you're a Comets fan, you're certainly not complaining about that. That's for sure.
On the flip side of that, for the Syracuse Crunch fans out there listening, listen, you had some call-ups. You were down a defenseman. You only had five defensemen. There's plausible excuses for the underperformance. When it's all said and done, Syracuse Crunch are going to be fine. They were humming along, a really good hockey team. I wanted to balance out Utica with that. The last thing, though, I want to stay on this subject really quick. What are the odds that you know who Steve Stifler is?
Steve Stifler from American Pie, 100%.
Okay, what are the odds that you know Steve Stifler, not his real name, was in both of the Goon movies? You knew that, right?
Yeah, Sean William Scott, man. He's great.
100%? Okay, did you know that Jet Wu, who scored his first goal with the Comets, one of their prospects, his father was in both Goon movies? What are the odds you knew that?
That is 0%. I did not know that. That's wild. Is he really?
It's a fact. It is an absolute fact. I will put the receipts out on social media at ESPN Sportzilla in just a few minutes. I'll give you a link. But let's get off the ice. Let's go to the basketball court. Glue guy.
So talking about some dominant players, Luka Doncic, did you see his buzzer beater last night?
It was, 100%. It was ridiculous. It was unbelievable.
So what are
go on.
What are the odds that buzzer beater is something only Luka can do?
I mean, it certainly seems that. I mean, the fact that he's off balance, he's able to keep his foot behind the line and kind of fall forward and shoot it. And it's not even like it was like a shot that with his momentum was too strong and hit off the backboard and went in. I mean, that just went straight in. And it was unbelievable. I mean, and they were pointing out in the broadcast, I mean, he was like almost – his momentum falling forward took him almost to the hoop by the time the ball went in. That's how like quickly he was moving forward. So it was extremely impressive. And I think they called it a Doncic dagger. So yeah, that's definitely a Luka original right
Luka
there.
Luka magic.
What are the odds you saw O'Shea Brissett's alley-oop dunk from last night?
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter. I mean, look, the guy is getting it up, you know, finally, and you absolutely love to see it. I think here we in Syracuse absolutely love, you know, or we know what he can bring to the table. So it's nice to see him getting the shot and then to get a highlight play like that. I mean, you know, I miss him in orange, so I'm glad to see him, you know, getting some recognition, you know, for his play in the pros.
Yeah, he put some buckets in last night. I have receipts. I have audio. Yeah. Rick Carlisle talking about Luka when we get to soundcheck at 3 o'clock. If you want to hear that. What are the odds Jimmy Boeheim ends up in Cuse? But let me also add this. We talked to Mark Larson from Spectrum Sports yesterday, and he said he kind of got a vibe where we all feel like it's 100%. Axe has said it. I think the Orange Nation guys have said it. You've said it. I've said it. We all feel like it's just pretty much predetermined at this point. He's going to transfer to Cuse to play with his brother and his dad.
However,
Mark Larson was like, I got a vibe that maybe not, because ultimately he wants to play.
Playing time is very important.
So what are the odds?
Yeah, I think for me right now, you know, maybe 60-40 that he would play at Syracuse, because the thing is, you know, I think, and look, Mark, you know, Mark Larson certainly has his finger on the pulse of the Syracuse area much more than I do. But from just my perspective, you know, I feel like he seemed like he wanted kind of his own thing. You know, he went to Cornell. He wanted to have his own path, not be in his, you know, father's shadow. And then, you know, now obviously with the reputation that Buddy has built and, you know, and what he's been able to do, you know, I could see obviously it would be a great thing and fun to join your father and brother at Syracuse. But at the same time, you know, do you want to come in there and be the new guy as, you know, the older brother? And I guess, you know, kind of
have to get yourself acquainted to the program and to the fans when, you know, your father and your brother are already well known. So I could very well see maybe he wouldn't want to do that. But at the same time, I mean, I think, you know, what a great story it would be if he did. So, you know, it would be definitely an interesting thing to see. But I can understand why, you know, maybe there'd be some hesitation about, you know, just calling it a sure thing at this point.
Spencer, we can't talk to you without talking about the Jets. What are the odds it's anyone but Zach Wilson at number two for the Jets in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I think those odds are pretty low at like 5%. I mean, you know, I know that in the pro day for Justin Fields, he was really impressive. And I know that, you know, some of the narratives are like, okay, well, wait, what about, you know, maybe they go for him. But I just think the writing is on the wall. I think, you know, Zach Wilson seems to be their guy. You saw the Jets camp at his pro day. They seem to be pretty enamored with him. And, you know, shortly after that, that's when they got the move done for, you know, to move Sam Darnold. So I really feel like he's kind of the guy that really caught their attention and caused them to make these moves. So I'd be very surprised to see it not be Zach Wilson. But you know what? You never know. But still, I would put it very low at like 5% that he's not their guy.
Jennifer Lopez and Alex Rodriguez officially have broken up. That was confirmed today. What are the odds you care? You don't even have to answer because nobody really does. Spencer, appreciate the time, bud. We're going to take a quick break. Odds makers every Tuesday and Thursday about 2:15. ESPN Radio Sports Illustrated Show. Coming back with Stephen Bailey with 24/7 Sports. We're going to discuss Syracuse football.
It's the Sportszilla Show on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
You know, you used to just ask me questions. Now you talk all the time. I can't even get a word in here anymore.
Here's Rain and Matt.
We've got Stephen Bailey. Going to make a lot of people happy. We can talk to MSU football. He's with 24/7 Sports. Nice enough to join us today. So we call it Masters of the Obvious. He's going to tell you some things that I don't think are obvious today, actually. I don't know how deep you're following what's going on with the team. And there's a reason for that. It brings up our radio brother, Brent X, as we alluded to a little bit earlier. Brent is of the opinion, and I'm on his side on this, that we've seen a lot more, and the basketball team this offseason, as far as the construction of the roster and dealing with the transfer portal and everything else, has been far more upfront and transparent than the football team. We haven't heard much from Dino Babers, and they seem to be doing a lot of their work behind the scenes. I mean, we know that they're stacking them deep to rebuild the offensive line, a couple of transfers in there. Start with that. Agree, disagree? What do you want to tell us as far as that issue is concerned?
You know, I think with the offensive line, it's clear that, you know, if the season doesn't go well this fall, you know, Dino Babers wants it to be for another reason. And, you know, I think that's a smart approach to take considering how the last 2 years have gone. You know, they were on Willie Tyler, the Texas transfer, from like a couple hours after he entered the portal.
Mm-hmm.
Kramer Cook's from the same hometown as him in Wisconsin, Syracuse recruiting director. So, you know, they ended up getting a commitment from him. He's someone who they liked early. They have Jacob Bradford, a JUCO guy, coming in the summer. Both those guys will be here in the summer. And kind of the early returns on the spring have been pretty, you know, pretty positive. And, you know, based on what I had heard, I'd had a couple of background conversations with people around the team, but the offensive line is looking great to start the spring. And it's almost weird to say that because of how things have gone the last couple of years. But, and look, I haven't scrimmaged yet, so there's still a lot to come. But, you know, that group has been, you know, one of the pleasant surprises to start spring ball. All the contributors are back. Everyone who played significant snaps. Dakota Davis is healthy. Chris Bleich, the transfer from Florida last year who had to sit out the 2020 season due to NCAA transfer rules, is in there and playing a lot of guard opposite Dakota Davis. So you're getting a good push inside with those two. And then you got Matthew Bergeron and Aaron Service at the two tackle spots. You know, I think Bergeron is pretty cemented there on the left side. To me, the big change could come this summer if Willie Tyler or maybe Jacob Bradford beats out Service and ends up being the right tackle. Then does Service slide to center? Do you like Fiorello better at center? You know, that's kind of the next question that comes with it. But, the offensive line playing well early is something that I've heard from a few different people, just kind of checking in to seeing how things are going with the team.
Since we call this Masters of the Obvious here with Stephen Bailey at 24/7 Sports on the Sports Illustrated Show with ESPN Radio, who has obviously stood out thus far, and what is the latest that you've heard about a spring game?
Yeah, first of the spring game, I have not heard. You know, there has been essentially no information put out officially from the program through spring ball. So, yeah, nothing on a spring game. As far as standouts, I can give you a few. I put up a post last week on 24/7 Sports behind the paywall.
I read it.
I got to give myself a little plug. Look, if you want to know what's going on, I think there's more information in there than you're pretty much going to find anywhere else. But aside from the offensive line, I've heard really good things about Sean Tucker, the freshman running back from last year. He's had a strong start to camp. Again, as of when I published that, and to my knowledge, they haven't scrimmaged yet. So a lot can change. The biggest evaluation opportunities of the spring are to come. But Sean Tucker came into the spring looking ready to build on what he did last year, getting good power, finishing his runs really well. And, you know, I think healthy again after the wear and tear of, you know, being a primary running back as a true freshman. Like, you know, I don't think anyone's really physically conditioned for that going in. And, you know, his ankle was bothering him through the year at times. So, you know, he has looked good. I've heard good things about Damian Alford, the freshman wide receiver, 6'5 wide receiver, who kind of ends up being the fifth wide receiver in empty sets for like the second half of the year. So, you know, he got maybe a couple of dozen reps, not a ton, but someone who the staff liked and is now, you know, with Nikeem Johnson having transferred to Kent State, getting some more looks. You know, they're shuffling a lot of personnel for skill positions. Damian's one of the guys who has looked good early. He's got a lot of length. He's gotten behind the defense a couple times. And then I think, you know, when they get into situational stuff, I think he's someone who can be a weapon in the red zone. So those are a couple guys on offense who I've heard good things about. Going over to defense, Josh Black, sixth-year defensive end. No surprise that he's good, but he's been especially good, you know, to start spring ball. He's been really good pass rushing. And he's someone who obviously has the balance of speed and strength and now experience to thrive, you know, in that two-gap role as an end in the 3-3-5. My understanding is the linemen are trying to play faster this year. You've got all your senior starters back with Josh Kingsley, Jonathan McKinley Williams. So, you know, with a second year in the system here, they should be able to play faster and do more. Same with the linebackers, trying to put them in more positions to play make, whereas the secondary obviously is replacing. You had young starters last year. Those guys are still learning, and they were kind of thrown to the fire. So a little bit different levels of understanding on the Syracuse defense. But I've heard Josh Black has done really well. And Deuce Chestnut's another name that's kind of popped out. Syracuse's highest-rated signee from the last cycle, early enrollee, working at corner, New Jersey guy. He had an interception in his first spring practice. And, you know, with Neil Nunn still working his way back from an ACL injury, there are reps up there at the cornerback position opposite Garrett Williams. So Deuce is getting some of those, and you know, it sounds like he's doing a pretty solid job, you know, in his first couple of weeks of college.
So talking about the offensive line, why is it obvious they'll be a lot better this year as opposed to last year?
Well, there's nothing obvious about that. You know, I know. I guess that would be the Masters of the Obvious kind of call. You know, if I were to say why. If they were to be better, what's the most encouraging factors? I'm going to go with the guard position. You know, I think Dakota Davis is arguably their best lineman, arguably was last year. You could make a good case for Matthew Bergeron as well. But Dakota was hurt most of the year, and then he came back, I want to say, like week 7 or so, and kind of worked his way back into things. Like, you know, it's hard to really expect anyone to be that effective in such a fashion. Now he's healthy, he's, you know, presumably conditioned, you know, and getting a full spring in. So, you know, I think that's really helpful. Having Chris Blights there is helpful. You also have Darius Tisdale back, who's getting some one reps as well. So you've got three guards who are motivated. They're competing, and you got, you know, I think increased production from that group, whereas last year, and all the credit in the world to Chris Elmore, you have to move your fullback to be your starting left guard. So now you've got three guards who are kind of competing for two spots, or maybe they end up rotating, who knows. But you're in a much better position there. So to me, you know, I would say that's the group in the line that I think it frankly just should be better this year.
Stephen Bailey with 24/7 Sports on the Sports Illustrated Show with ESPN Radio. It's straight up, they have twice as many bodies.
I'll say a lot more depth.
In depth competing for these jobs on the offensive line. So you hope, you know, through attrition, you're going to end up with five pretty decent offensive linemen across the board. It's all going to start there with this team. We were talking about the other day. I think we all know this. I mean, it's obvious if the offense is on the field and can sustain some drives, which was a problem for Syracuse, you keep the defense off the field, and then they're not exhausted at the end of a game. So that's just an absolute positive. But I want to talk about the draft a little bit and the prospects that Syracuse has. Obviously, defensive backs. There's three of them. Cisco, Melifonwu, and Trill. Now, depending on what ranking you look at, because as you know, Stephen, there are so many of them, they're all in the top 100 and ultimately expected to go within the first few rounds of the NFL draft. And I think we even talked with you about this before, not too long, last time you were on, but it's been a couple of weeks. So what's the latest that you're hearing or through your investigation that you've heard about these guys?
You know, I think it's been pretty, you know, consistent in the last few weeks, right? I think everyone knows the deal with Andre Cisco. Everyone knows how productive he was. Mm-hmm. They know he's got the tape. They know he's coming off ACL surgery. They know, you know, he can't fully work out, you know? So I think it's an injury by and large that guys come back from and are just as good as they have always been. So on the medical side, if he gets checked out, I think he's still probably looking at, you know, best case kind of being late second, but, you know, maybe a third round guy. And, you know, Fatu Melifonwu did his work already. You know, he excelled at the Senior Bowl. Then he had a really, really good pro day workout. And I think he is, you know, improved his stock the most during this process. And obviously Andre is not in a position to really do that. So I think Fatu could go second round. My guess is he's the first of the three taken, but I wouldn't, you know, if a team really likes Andre, then, you know, it's possible. You never quite know how these things are going to shake out. And then to me, Trill is kind of the hardest one to place, because he doesn't have quite as much tape as those two guys. Like, and I think they have very defined roles. Like if Fatu is going to be a cornerback, I mean, you could move him around, but he's got the length and the jumping ability and the hips, and, you know, he's almost always in phase playing in man coverage in the ACC, which you really don't see very often. And Andre's a flat out ball hawk. He's a deep third guy, amazing instincts, amazing ball skills. Like, they're very clear cut, whereas Trill can kind of do everything. And he's good at a lot of those things, but maybe not dominant at any specific spot on the field. Aside from playmaking, obviously that's, you know, kind of what he's hung his hat on, and rightfully so. So that, I think that just makes it different for teams to look at him, right? Like, maybe one team loves him as a nickel corner, another one sees him as a versatile safety, another one a backup cornerback. It's going to depend on team need, what team likes him, you know, probably the conversations he's had with them through the process, who else is on the board, obviously. So to me, that's why I could kind of see Trill going, I don't know, maybe third round through like sixth round. Like, it wouldn't shock me if he slipped a little bit, but it also wouldn't shock me if a team said, hey, you know, we really like him. I mean, I think nickel corner makes the most sense because of his combination of size and speed and physicality. But I think you're going to get different evaluations from different front offices. So, you know, that's kind of what I see from the three of them. But, you know, to me, the bottom line is Syracuse is almost certainly going to have three guys drafted from the same position group, which is as good a recruiting tool as Dino Babers has right now. I mean, a 10-win season 3 years ago is nice, but putting three guys in the league will move the needle more when you're chatting with high school recruits and their families.
As they say, most definitely. But Trill, I've seen a lot of also evaluations that are saying, look for him to make an impact on special teams when he gets to the next level to get his foot in the door, so to speak, and stick with the roster. Stephen Bailey with 24/7 Sports. Always grateful for the time, my friend. Have a great rest of your day. We'll come back. You're Killing Me, Smalls, is next on the Sportszilla Show with ESPN Radio.
The Sportszilla Show.
Oh, yeah?
Bringing the Central New York sports fan together.
You're supposed to wear your mask all over your nose.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Can everyone hear me okay? Everyone listen up?
You're Killing Me, Smalls. It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on twitch.tv/QSportsTalk and ESPN Radio.
Well, for Pete's sake, here we go again.
Okay, listen, Tom Thibodeau is coach of the year for the New York Knicks. I'm right. No, I don't care if it's killing you, Smalls, or not. Glue guy. So what's going on with the WWE?
It seems like every year after WrestleMania, WWE does some spring cleaning. Numerous superstars lose their jobs. It seems like after Mania season, they try to trim up the books, and this year is apparently no different.
Killing you, Smalls?
Yeah, it's frustrating because a lot of these talent is great, and they just weren't utilized in a good way in WWE, and it's sad to see a lot of these guys lose their jobs, and women, for that matter.
Wait, Glue Guy, usually when I ask you to tell me about something that you're getting in your feelings about, you tell me no and you blow me off, but you actually came with it this time.
Yeah, you like that?
I'm color me shocked. That's awesome. I was about to tell you that you're killing me, Smalls, because you won't give me an answer on it, and there you are.
There we go.
You proved me wrong. You know what's killing me, Smalls? The same thing. We had mentioned this yesterday, and remember we were talking about how you stopped hearing about load management, or it was whispered about. Well, suddenly, bang, that word is back, and everybody discussing it. Alan Hahn. You've got Greeny talking about it a little bit more. He went off on it today, actually. And it's bad for the game. For those that have the opinion that if I'm going to pay for a ticket, now that you're slowly letting fans back in, I want to see certain guys. You know, he paid credit to LeBron, for example, or James Harden. These guys play. They don't do the load management thing. Popovich probably started it. I would agree with that. And as much as I think that he's one of the best coaches currently coaching and probably of all time when it's all said and done, I do disagree with the load management thing. I can't stand it when Kawhi is not in the lineup. If there's a Clippers game and I want to flip it on and watch, I want to see Kawhi. If you're hurt, you don't play. That's a different story. If you're injured, that's one thing. But if you're not, I don't get it. The argument to that is, oh, well, we're just trying to keep everybody healthy till the playoffs. You know what? But, yep, get off my lawn. Because back in the day, you didn't have that kind of stuff. You played if you were healthy. You played unless you were injured. It's that simple. And there's numerous examples of that over the years in all sports.
But how many times have you flipped on the TV and you're like, oh, cool, this team against this team is playing, and oh, look at that. It's a marquee matchup on national TV for the star players not to play. We saw that all the time with the Miami Heat. It felt like every other Tuesday they were on TNT. You flipped it on, and all of a sudden, LeBron's not playing, D-Wade's down, and Bosh isn't playing.
I'm going to ask Tim Capstra. He's the voice of the Brooklyn Nets when we talk to him in a few minutes. What's up with that? I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge, okay, there's a heart issue. Not only did he take the game off, he has retired from playing professional basketball, understandably so. But there's some other guys just not in the lineup. Kevin Durant just came back from an injury and then gets a load management game. It's nonsense.
We saw Kyrie Irving have a day off last week as well.
Kyrie Irving has...
due to family matters again.
But he's taking, you know, I can allow for a major event that affects you as a human with some of the social justice issues. I can't comprehend. So I understand that. I have days, you've probably had a day, or if you're listening, you've had a day, no matter what you do for a living, where you're just like, I don't want to do this today. It doesn't mean you don't love your job or like what you do. Any other day, it's fine. It's just every once in a while, they call them mental health days. I understand that to a point, but you play 82 games a year, for example, if we're just staying within basketball. 82 out of, what is there, 365 days in
a
year?
Yes.
Am I right on the math? But I just don't get it. I just don't get it, and I've had enough.
Yeah, but
of it.
We've seen Kyrie Irving take days off for his birthday.
He
cited a family matter, even though his birthday was the same day.
He went to a family reunion and took a personal day for it at one point.
Good for him.
That has also happened. That's the kind of crap that's got to stop. I think I'm at the end of my rope with this. So, you know, load management for the second day in a row.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Let's come back with some sound check on the Sportzilla show on ESPN Radio. And Tom Thibodeau is the coach of the year. Huh, you didn't turn my mic off. I'm amazed.
It's the Sportzilla Show with Rain and Matt on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Listen to this. Mic check. Okay? Good. Here's your sports sound check.
I live for 18-year-old boulders, 18-year-old bowlers with ginger hair making a 7-10 split. I've cut the highlight in half. I have to hear it again because... Twitch, Q Sports Talk. They're going to talk about bowling. You watch.
Come on, kid, do it.
Oh, he did it! He did it! He got the 7-10, Randy! He got it! Woo-hoo-hoo! My goodness, the ginger assassin just dropped the 7-10. You bet, kid. You bet. Oh, man. Give me some oxygen and water to spare the game. Believe you will. I believe the ginger assassin can drop the 7-10. Oh, man.
It actually came off of the bowling ball.
Into the seven.
Here's the simple fact, and I found a better analogy to describe that play-by-play.
I actually have one better, but continue.
It's X Games. That's what it reminded me of.
Bra. No.
Yeah, bra, it's X Game. And it was over the top.
It's UFC quality announcing. The ginger assassin sounds like he just knocked someone out in 5 seconds in the first round.
You're allowed to like bowling, okay, and I'm fine with that. The fact that we're talking about bowling makes me laugh. But if you feel the need to call a bowling highlight like that, bowling does not deserve a highlight like that.
Yes, it does.
The highlight was awesome. But don't waste it on bowling. The Ginger Assassin, though, is a fantastic nickname.
It is.
That it is. This is called Soundcheck, Sports Illustrated Show, ESPN Radio. It is, once again, Rain and Matt in hour number two, taking it through till four. And on the block with Brent Axe. I wonder if he's going to talk a little bit more about the football team being in the shadows. And I wonder if he likes Stephen Bailey's answer from a little while ago. I kind of did. I definitely did. It was nice to talk some football. But I want a spring game. When are we going to find out about that? And Jimmy Boeheim declaring where he's going to go, Syracuse. He's going to Syracuse. It's going to end up Syracuse.
Should your nickname be the Ginger Assassin?
The Bald Ginger Assassin. Let's get some more audio out there and have some discussions. Kirk Herbstreit. Fields, total package, especially after two pro days now. Let's find out a little bit more.
I know Ryan Day really well. I knew Ryan Day when he had Dwayne Haskins. And I know how Ryan Day felt about Dwayne Haskins' ability. I know he felt he needed another year, not just to come back and read defenses, just another year to mature and grow. And I think now looking back at it, you can see why. And I also know this year that he feels very strongly about the commitment and the leadership and the playmaking ability and just the overall package of what Justin Fields has to offer to the NFL.
I feel like when I heard somebody compare his skill set, his physicality, his athletic ability, his arm and everything else, his mobility to basically Russell Wilson, I feel like he's a better option if you're going to draft a quarterback of these five quarterbacks in this upcoming draft in now just under 2 weeks than Mac Jones. I feel like once again, the A, Roll Tide and playing at Alabama has elevated his stock. He is an immobile quarterback. It is it's a quarterback driven league, but mobility is a thing now. You got to be able to move a little bit out of the pocket and you've got to be able to make all the throws.
But then
you have to graduate into being a better pocket passer. But even somebody like Justin Fields is still going to be more mobile in 10 years than Mac Jones is now.
But because he was coached under Nick Saban, all of a sudden, everyone feels like he's the guy. He can be the guy. And as you were saying, I don't know if his physical tools is NFL ready. Alabama quarterbacks have not done very well in the NFL.
I mean, and I wonder with Trey Lance if you're getting into a Herbert situation. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. He came out of Oregon and he was hyped. And then he got on the field and you're like, whoa. This dude, look at the performance right out of the gate. Like, rookie quarterbacks don't perform like that. Is he a hidden gem? I mean, no, he's hyped. He's within these five quarterbacks that everybody's talking about getting drafted. but at the same time, probably the least well-known from the least well-known program, but he can play. Is he the diamond in the rough? Do you take him before Mac Jones, regardless of the fact that you played at Alabama?
I would take Justin Fields over those guys, to be honest with you. I feel like Justin Fields can be a great quarterback in today's day and age. I feel like at the end of the year, out of all these five guys, who do you think will have the better season?
Wow.
Is it going to be Trevor Lawrence with Jacksonville?
With a garbage team?
Probably not.
Yeah, he's going to struggle. Yeah, you might be right. Going a little bit later, you may be on a team with a little bit better roster might help you when it's all said and done. And Mac Jones had ridiculous weapons at Alabama. Hello, Waddle.
Two Heisman finalists and one Heisman winner.
Yeah, Devontae, I mean, come on. It's just a little bit easier to look good when you play for a program like that, and I just wonder if that elevates your draft stock. No, I'm pretty sure it does.
So when Justin Fields suits up for the Patriots and wins Rookie of the Year, we'll know why.
Yeah, you're 100%. I have to 100% agree with you, even though I like disagreeing with you more.
I know that.
For some reason, because we get this work husband thing. You like to be my contrarian and poke the bear, and that's okay. It's a Sports Illustrated show. On ESPN Radio.
Because you don't love doing that either.
And this is called Soundcheck. So Carlos Rodon, almost a perfect game. I wanted to switch the baseball really quick. Tony La Russa, there's a lot of jokes there. I know he's 76 years old and hasn't managed in 11 years and is back in the White Sox dugout. But he said that he'd be willing to give him his locker now. I thought that was rather amusing. Do you think that he would want this? I mean, you've got like Ben Gay in there. I mean, he's 76 years old. You know what I'm saying?
No, you probably don't want that.
Is there prunes in the guy's locker?
Probably.
I mean, you understand I'm making jokes here.
Before the game, I told him, you know, if we pitch a shutout, he could have my office. And I thought in the excitement, he forgot when he walked by. He says, just clear out. I'm in there. I said, well, I didn't say, but you got a no-hitter. That kind of kills the bet. Last thing I heard was Rob was moving my things in his locker, so I'm glad to give it up.
Does a 76-year-old relate to 20-something, early 30-something athletes?
The love of baseball, probably, but outside of that, probably not.
Okay, let's go back to a different sport. And Alan Hahn, somebody I name dropped, of course. You hear Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Alan Hahn takes care of post game in studio for the New York Knicks. We've had him on Sportszilla's show before. Is he going to be on again?
Yes, eventually. Get off my back.
You going to get that done for me? Load management, has it been is it a topic of conversation? I feel like in the last 24 hours, and maybe I was missing it before, but we're using the term hard again, and we're calling some teams and players out on this. It is, Alan pretty much agrees with me. I think it's terrible. I think we've got to fix this. It's a bad thing for the NBA.
Load management, injury management, sitting players out. You're just literally just making a mockery of the regular season. You're saying the regular season doesn't matter. And when you're good enough, you're a good enough team, you're just going to get to the playoffs, and that's when we'll play everybody, and that's when it'll matter. When the buildings are filled again, you can't do this to people.
Nope.
You can't do this to your customers. It's bad enough. ESPN has given you so much money. Turner gives you all this money. And to have these games.
But you like seeing the best players not play during the course of the season, that you've got to wait for 82 games for the playoffs when you know they're going to be in the lineup unless they're hurt? It's ridiculous. NBA, Adam Silver, best commissioner in the league, fix it. Fix the problem.
But can he mandate coaches not sit their players?
Well, it's a delicate balancing act. Here's the last piece of sound for Soundcheck on ESPN Radio and the Sports Illustrated Show. This is Greeny.
Load management are my least two favorite words in sports. But that's really only a small part of what we have here. The load management is not really what's going on. What's going on in a league that is increasingly concerned about the postseason being the only thing that matters, with this insanely compressed schedule that is so complicated, and I understand why it's necessary, teams are erring on the side of caution. So forgetting about the net game last night, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George don't play last night because it's the second night of a back-to-back. So some things are excuses and some things are reasons. And what I will say is this is a difficult balancing act they have to do. And I do not envy Adam having to make these decisions. Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA. It's a lot easier for us to sit on the sideline and throw spitballs at these people who are choosing between pack packing all these games in as fast as they can, understanding that it is going to impact the product in a detrimental way, that fans are going to be frustrated. They're making that decision. They're deciding that is the lesser of two evils because the other side is not playing all the games.
We're going to get with you at Q Sports Talk on twitch.tv as we're setting up here for a break on the Sportszilla show on ESPN Radio. We're going to come back with somebody that is employed by the Brooklyn Nets in the NBA and, of course, was born and raised right here in Central New York. They call him Capper. His name is Tim Capstra. He's been on with us before. Take a guess what we're going to ask him about for starters.
Load management?
How'd you ever do that? Let's take the break. We'll come back with Capper.
Now, it's the Sportszilla Show.
The New England Patriots cheat.
Told ya.
I love cheating.
Whoops. The Sportszilla Show from 2 to 4 with Rain and Matt.
If you're ready to talk, I'm ready to listen.
On ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
I was just reminded of something by Capper that we got to do a better job of that, letting people know, our guests on the phone know when we're bringing them live onto the radio, because I, and kind of a nice compliment. He's like, I never know when I'm on or when I'm not, because it's like a show within a show with you guys. And it's true. For our Twitch audience at Q Sports Talk, we just kind of try to keep it going, get you a different side of our guests. But now we are live on the radio with Capper. Yes, Tim Capstra with the roots in Central New York and the voice, of course, of the Brooklyn Nets, one of them. And I just want to start right where we were talking about before we went on the air with load management. I want you to give us your perspective on it. I'm one of those people that gets a little bit frustrated with it, but that's on the surface because there are a lot of underlying issues. I still want to see guys during the regular season. I understand there's a lot more money involved nowadays. I understand you're protecting them for the playoffs, but then there's the injury factor in that, and I'll let you start there, Tim Capstra.
Well, I just see that with a lot of the Brooklyn Nets players right now. I mean, you got a guy, people are probably upset Kevin Durant did not play against the Philadelphia 76ers last night. Well, you know, he almost didn't play for a couple of years, you know, basically 2 years. He didn't play basketball. So obviously him coming back is something you want to be really cautious about. Blake Griffin didn't play because he's had major surgeries. Different guys, James Harden didn't play because, well, he has a hamstring and he's flat out injured. And it usually averages playing 80 games a year, and this is kind of a rarity for him. So I think every situation is different, and yet I totally understand the frustration. Getting fired up for a big game against big opponents, top teams or whatever, or paying money to go to a game, maybe that's not the case this year, and not seeing the superstars, that's frustrating. I mean, I think it's a – I think it's a real issue. I think what you're dealing with right now is, though, you're coming off teams that played in the bubble all summer. They had about 6 weeks off, and now they're playing games every other day, or it seems like even more than that, sometimes back-to-back. And it's just grueling on these guys. And the amount of injuries that occur, they're happening quite frequently. And if you don't do anything, they're going to happen even more. So it's a dilemma right now. It's a problem. It's something the NBA is going to have to address. But it is in some ways, I know this has occurred for a number of years, but the pandemic has kicked it up a notch too. You know, I mean, it is at a different level right now because of how condensed the games are.
Yeah, of course. That's absolutely a fair argument within this. I don't envy Adam Silver because one way or another, he has to change the fans' perspective as if this is something that's going to continue within the game. And I was one who was like, boy, he just came back. To your point about Kevin Durant, I was one of those guys like, man, I want to see him. I suppose I understand, but it's still frustrating when you flip on the TV and there's certain players and certain teams that you want to see. That being said, LaMarcus Aldridge has a legitimate reason why, of course, he didn't play and has retired. I don't know what you can or can't or are willing to tell us about his situation out of respect for being a medical issue, clearly. But what can you tell us about LaMarcus Aldridge retiring?
Well, it was just, I'm like you, you know, I heard about it this morning and was shocked. We knew nothing. We had heard no rumors about anything of this nature. And, you know, and obviously he had, you know, he after the game the other night against the Lakers or last Saturday night against the Lakers, he had a regular heartbeat. I mean, it's in the press release. I mean, and he was scared. He was scared. He got checked out. He's kind of at the end of his career, kind of winding down. He said, well, if this is something that's dangerous. And think about it. Think about the amount of really large athletes that have had heart, have died young because of heart issues. You start doing the stats on guys that are ex-players, ex-big men especially. It is shocking. So I think that this is really the right thing for LaMarcus Aldridge to be doing, and certainly wish him all the best.
Damian Lillard from the Portland Trailblazers, when he heard about the news, he was on with Jalen and Jacoby on ESPN, and he was saying how he feels like LaMarcus Aldridge's number in Portland needs to be retired. I'm wondering what your thoughts on that are.
I don't know. I mean, I think so. He was like a 6 or 7-time All-Star, good player. And Portland, if you've ever been there, boy, what a basketball. They're really passionate there. It goes back to the Bill Walton days and those teams, Jack Ramsey winning the NBA championship. They are passionate. I would be all for that. But don't have enough information. But I would think that he would be at least one of the top 5-10 players in the history of their organization.
Tim Capstra, one of the voices of the Brooklyn Nets, nice enough to join us. It is the Sports Illa Show on ESPN Radio. Ben Simmons was quoted as saying when referring to the Nets, and I know that you've heard all of the building super team nonsense that's out there. If you can get great players, you're going to get great players because you want to win a championship at the end of the day. But he said, and I'll quote him, they have a lot of talent, but at the same time, it's a team game. That, to me, depending on how you look at it, can be used as bulletin board material and motivation. What would be an appropriate response to that?
Well, the appropriate response is if you've watched the Brooklyn Nets play this year, you could have some issues with them defensively at times, but you would never have an issue with their unselfishness on offense. That they have totally fixed that whatever frame of thought that was developed when especially when people are talking about James Harden coming in. Maybe James Harden was the number one reason why, because he just came out and you couldn't get him to shoot for the first half of games at certain points. He got everybody so involved and then started playing, and then he mixes in his offense. Durant is the same kid. Durant's played with Steph Curry the last day. They just want to win. And Kyrie Irving, these guys' passing ability, their unselfishness, that he misses on. Big, really big. Defensively, they're improving. Ben Simmons is a great defensive player. Not good. He is great. So he can talk about defense, but he probably shouldn't be talking about the offensive side of the floor. Because it is beautiful to watch how these players look for each other, but at the same time utilize their great individual skills and can make plays on their own.
Mike Greenberg on his Greeny radio show on ESPN was talking about an NBA blowout problem. 53% of the games this year so far have been decided by double-digit points. That's the most since 1950. Do you feel like there's an issue here with the NBA?
I didn't know that stat. I had no idea about that. I would not have known that. Yeah, I mean, I think there's some, I think all sports got to reevaluate themselves all the time. And that's why I think that NBA is fortunate to have a great leadership. I think you've got to do that. I think baseball's got to do the same thing. They've got to wonder, is their game appealing enough to the younger fans? The NBA has to realize, hey, we might have an issue here with load management or this, and then you make adjustments, and that's what great leaders do. And so I think the way the games are set up, and the way they're so these games are close together. I mean, they're playing, you're 15 games a month. You're playing these. You're going there. Yes, you're resting some guys, so that can alter the closeness of games at times, but also just the physical exhaustion. I think you've got to, it's an unprecedented time. I'm so happy they're playing basketball, but it's not perfect right now. And I think the NBA and all other sports have to look at themselves and say, how can we continue to improve?
This is Capper, of course, radio analyst with the Brooklyn Nets here with us on the Sports Illustrated Show on ESPN Radio. So, Tim, listen, we have Central New York roots in common, and I respect that you work for the Nets, but you always are nice enough to indulge me and my Knicks fandom, and I appreciate you for that. So I made this statement, and I'm just looking at what the Knicks are doing, you know, across town, and Tom Thibodeau specifically. Is he a legitimate candidate for Coach of the Year right now? And the expectation, when you look at expectations, and I guess when you flip that over, maybe if you want to compare it to the Nets and that roster that they have and a first-year coach, and what would you say?
I would say nobody's surprised that Tom Thibodeau is doing an unbelievable job. He's one of the great coaches in the game. He's absolutely perfect for that Net team, the Knicks team right now, and he's developed them, and it's great to have the excitement in New York City that the Brooklyn Nets are good, but that the New York Knicks are good. Because you're right, there's a lot of – there's millions of fans out here, let me tell you. And there's, I know they're everywhere, and they've been frustrated for an awful long time.
Yeah.
So they deserve this. You know what I read this morning, though, that I thought was interesting? Stan Van Gundy, the coach of the Pelicans, brought up an interesting point. You know the teams that didn't – the eight teams that didn't go to the bubble, right? They had an opportunity to practice prior to – instead of going to the bubble. And he felt that that was a great advantage for the Knicks and that Tom Thibodeau – was able to really utilize that to build his defensive structure and get guys ready for this season. I think they've been great. I think he's going to get votes for Coach of the Year. But there's you know, you think about the Utah Jazz, Quinn Snyder, mm-hmm. Phoenix, they're terrific. I'll tell you what, Steve Nash has done an unbelievable job. I just told you about how nobody's worried about having a basketball in their hands. Everybody talks about the star power that the Nets have. You know, the three stars have only played in seven games.
I know.
And it hasn't been load management. It has been injuries. Imagine flip-flop. He's had 28 different starting lineups. Everybody seems very much in tune, very happy, very it flow. I know people say, well, you're loaded with players. I think it's really hard to coach really talented teams. And if he wins an NBA championship, well, the award will be given out for the regular season. But I do think that – I mean, I look back in 2012. Eric Spoelstra's job he did with that Miami Heat team, I don't know if it was that year, the year they won a championship when LeBron and, you know, all that,
mm-hmm.
that went on and he went down there. Those are really hard teams to coach because the expectations – and you're right, there's a different type of mentality when you're coaching stars. So I think there's a lot of deserving guys, but Tom Thibodeau would definitely get some votes. And, you know, don't be just satisfied with being a good team getting into the playoffs. The Knicks are going to keep – they're going to start attracting higher-level talent because they've gotten to that one level right now. They've gotten to that middle-of-the-road level where some free agents, pretty good free agents, I think will consider being next.
Capper, we cannot thank you enough for the time. Every time we reach out, you say yes and you jump on with us. We appreciate it. Have a great night, and I know you got a game tomorrow, so enjoy, man. I know you do.
All right, guys. Take care. Lots of fun.
Tim Capstra of the Brooklyn Nets, ESPN Radio, Sports Illustrated Show. We come back with Nico Tamorian.
Get it cracking, man. Let's go. Snoop Dogg in the house. Let me see some. Drop the sticks, man. Let's get cracking, man. To the middle of the ring. Let's go.
It's the Sportszilla Show on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Here's Rain and Matt.
I feel like conversations that we have had on the air, on Twitch, and perhaps maybe even via text and whatnot, we got to make sure. It might not be at a set date and time, but at least once a week, we got to talk to this guy. His name is Nico Tamorian, CNY Central. Nico, we cannot leave you out. We did leave you out that one week, and I know you were just messing with us, but I was like, I feel bad. He's right. How do you not talk to Nico once a week at the very least?
He's just messing with you, but I'm happy to be on every week. No question about it.
That's exactly right, man. Like I said, I totally know you were messing, but I'm like, that's my bad, and I can't let that happen again. We enjoy the time together.
No worries.
It's always a lot of fun. Let's start with the Torrance brothers. One of them, Saire, just got an offer to play football out of CBA from Syracuse, and we all know his brother has transferred in from Marquette to play for the basketball team, and you tell us because you were credited, one of the people credited with breaking that story.
Well, it was actually pretty unique from the standpoint of I got an email from CBA confirming it, that they kind of on their own sent to people. And I don't know that I've seen that too often, but I think what they were trying to do was make sure that, you know, when it did come out and when Sayer announced it, that people wouldn't be, you know, calling them left and right. So it was something we knew about and then kind of got confirmed without even having to ask to have it confirmed. But yeah, no, I think it's a really special thing. And he's a freshman in high school, and that's how good he is that, you know, Dino and his staff are saying, all right, let's do our best right now to make sure this kid stays home to the best of our ability. And it's a really fun thing. And I noticed him during the 2019 season when he was an eighth grader. And you could see some of these catches and plays you were making. Like, wow, this kid's 14? Like, okay, 15, whatever he might have been at that time. So really special. And I can't wait to – it's going to be a while. I mean, wherever he ends up committing to, he's not going to be on campus till 2024. But it's going to be that next star to watch. And it'll be a lot of fun the next few football seasons.
So is Samir going to be teammates with Jimmy Boeheim? The transfer watch is on. Nothing is broke that I know of. You said to us, and we'll keep it in the house, and we'll get to Tiana in the WNBA draft in a second. But as far as the men's team is concerned, we're just waiting on that. We talked to Mark Larson, and he talked to Jimmy yesterday. I'm sure you're aware of that. And he said he kind of got a sense. He didn't say anything directly. Jimmy didn't say anything directly, but he just got a sense where, listen, at the end of the day, he wants to play. And so he's exploring his options. And we've heard Jim has made comments on that, hey, this is Jimmy's decision. He's thought about it. And we all know what Jim said, and you know what Jim said. But what do you think? I mean, I guess I suppose sometimes we play what are the odds with you. Where are you with the Jimmy B transfer watch?
Yeah, no, listen, and I was able to talk to Jimmy as well. We didn't do it as like a story, but just to kind of touch base and things like that. And I love Mark. Tell Mark next time you talk to him, he owes me a few strokes on the golf course because he's my most frequent golf partner. But no, that's just that, exactly it. I think that when Jimmy entered the transfer portal in the fall, it was just kind of this immediate notion from everybody. Oh, well, he's going to play for Syracuse. It's perfect. And because Buddy's there and Jim and all these great things. Could probably happen. It might happen. But to say that it was going to happen back then and that this family that knows the college game more than probably any other family in the country wasn't going to explore every little thing was a little bit naive. So that's what Jimmy's been doing. And he has no shortage of suitors. And I remember back when he first entered the transfer portal, it was an ACC call and Mike Bray from Notre Dame was like, hey, tell Jim to send his son my way. You know what I mean? So he is, it's getting closer on that. That's where I'll leave it at with that. And, it's exciting stuff though. And it's a great family, great basketball family. And it's going to be a fun thing to watch. No question about it. Whatever happens with Jimmy.
He's proven he can play at this level when Cornell plays Syracuse, period, full stop. Glue guy.
Nico CBW put in the Twitch chat. What are your thoughts on zero spring football news? And is it a good strategy to get fans re-engaged after a poor start?
Yeah, well, I mean, I got a couple thoughts on that. And it's one of those things where, no, it's probably not a good strategy to get fans engaged. And fans are probably, and so am I, itching to see more video of how does Tommy DeVito look after the injury? How about Garrett Schrader in his first spring in Orange? So, no, it's not a good strategy from that standpoint. But I think the thing that takes precedent over that right now is it's getting better and being a better football team. Now, you know, does it help or hurt when you let the media in the first few minutes of practice? Probably not. But then again, does it help us tell you those stories even more? Seeing, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of Kingsley Jonathan and Sean Tucker stretching? Probably not either. So I'm very indifferent to it. I see the point, and Brent made a great point. Brent's article, Brent's my guy, and he's right. It's not the best strategy to get fans in tune. But does it hurt things? You know, I don't know if it hurts anything necessarily. I think everybody's got to take a little step back and just, you know, there was a really good article today, and it was a lot of research back by Anthony at the Daily Orange about the, different things with the SU basketball team. And I thought it was fantastically researched. And I know I'm going off topic a little bit here, but, you know, I finished reading. I'm like, well, you know, like the one line in there that sticks out to me is they've gone to 3 Sweet 16s in the basketball team in the last 5 years. The only school to do that more is Gonzaga. So really, what other research do you need other than Gonzaga is the only team that's had that much tournament success, at least that round. So I think sometimes it's a matter of like, let's just look at this and let's play the long game here and let's see how it all plays out instead of maybe, I mean, you know, get upset that we've only seen some video from one practice or something like that. You know what I mean?
Wait, I know exactly what you mean. Nico Tamirian with CY Central is with us here on the Sports Illustrated Show on ESPN Radio. You're not directly saying it, but I'm going to directly say it. Syracuse basketball fans are fickle, spoiled, entitled, and we have ridiculous expectations. What more do we want collectively? I'll include myself in that. But to your point about Brent, our radio brother, Kendall Coleman, hired back. Deion Maddox, back with the program. We're not hearing about those guys, and I do understand his point 100%. Sure. And I've got to say, I disagree.
I get it, for sure.
I disagree about the Boston Red Sox and a few other things as far as his Pete Rose take. I don't agree with him about Pete Rose. But Axe is spot
on.
What's
his Pete Rose take? Not to get you off topic. What's his Pete Rose take?
I think he belongs in the Hall of Fame, and Axe says absolutely not. We have gone. This has been an ongoing battle for years between Axe and I. If he's listening, he may address this a little bit later on the block after 4 o'clock, which we're obviously getting close to. But let's talk. We got two more things for you real quick. Let's start with Tiana. Lay out the information, glue guy.
So tonight is the WNBA draft, ESPN, 7 p.m., where do you think she's going to end up, Nico? According to ESPN, she's going to be going in the third round to the Atlanta Dream.
So I would love to see her go to the Seattle Storm, not just because they're back-to-back champs and they have Breanna Stewart, but they have one of the greatest point guards in the game in Sue Bird all time. Mm-hmm. And for Tiana to maybe get to learn under her for however long Sue's going to play, you know, I'll say at least a couple of years. And we talked about this for the Twitch audience. I mean, Tiana is going to be a steal for anybody. Was she at her 100% self this season? No, but she hadn't played in a year and a half, and she beat breast cancer. Like, what do people want? So I think whatever WNBA team gets her is getting a steal. They're going to work her out. She's going to get back to that form, and she's going to be awesome. And despite not being 100%, she led college basketball in assists. So what do you want from her? Like, come on. It's going to be a steal for whoever picks her.
You are given the distinct honor of working with Jim and Julie 92 days until TBT. What is it, Saturday, April 24th? And that's at NBC on NBC 3 at 7 o'clock. And then it's digitally from 8 to 9. Clean up that for us and tell everybody about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great thing. Last year, it was the virtual gala. We got to see much more, really inside look at the Boeheims in quarantine as the pandemic was at the onset. And we raised, you know, $600,000 roughly for the Jim and Julie Boeheim Foundation. They raised it, and we were just honored to help. And so that's the goal, because our community needs this more than ever. We've seen some tough things in the city of Syracuse the last few days, and I've talked to Jim about this, and he's not this week specifically, but he says the best way to help, you know, stop crime in Syracuse is to help the Boys and Girls Club. And that's just one of the many beneficiaries of the Jim and Julie Boeheim Foundation. So we got a fun broadcast, everybody, a lot of cool segments, a lot of stuff that they're working on. And I can't wait just to be a small part of bringing that to everybody next Saturday.
And Nico, I misread my own handwriting, the 92 days until TBT basketball tournament. And Boeheim's Army, we've heard Devo's been on with us. Devo was on with Orange Nation. You've talked to other people. How excited are for you? Are you for this? And I can't wait till the chase for a million. And it's back to being a little bit more like what we've expected in years past, not whittled down to 24 teams like last year.
Yeah, and then that's just another sign of normalcy, right? And we're hoping all the sports continue to just like get there a little bit quicker than we have seen lately, right? But yeah, I mean, never bet against Derek Diebendorf. That's rule number one in Syracuse sports. The guy is unbelievable on and off the court. I can't wait to see what team they put together. And last year, that was like the first live sporting event, at least when it came to like Syracuse here locally, right? So that was really cool to see come back. And this year, it'd be really cool to see who they can bring on board and see if they can bring home that cool million. They might get a parade if they do that. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right, and I want to go bear witness to that. Yesterday, we were talking to the Twitch audience at Q Sports Talk and then on the air about some of the prospective players that could end up on this roster. Like, who do you want to see just as a fan? So I'm going to leave you homework. When you get a chance later on tonight, tweet out a few of those names that you'd love to see on Boeheim's Army when they return. Is that a deal?
It's a deal. And you're going to have me back on next week because we got to talk more about the gala, and then I'll give you my picks on the air. Deal?
100%. Would love to have you anytime. Nico Tamirian with CNY Central, SportsZilla Show, ESPN Radio. Right back with the last thing we'll say today.
The SportsZilla Show with Rain and Matt.
Can everyone hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Okay, well, so we've made some amazing adjustments.
Here's the last thing we'll say today on ESPN Radio,
ESPN,
and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
Matt Page and I, my name is Rain. We are back with Yankees on Deck tomorrow, right, as they get ready to play baseball again. It is an off day today. They lost yesterday 5-4. Kevin Biggio won the game for the Dunedin/Buffalo/Toronto Blue Jays, who are in second place, actually. The Yankees are in fourth place and four games back. The Orioles are 3.5, but that leaves the Boston Red Sox with a 9-3 record after getting swept by Baltimore, as we talked about earlier, and then just winning every game since. What is going on with the Boston Red Sox?
I think you jinxed them.
It's me. Blame me. I'll take the heat if you're a fellow Yankees fan.
After they started 0-3 on the season, you were sitting there laughing at them, just laughing, hamming it up, and now look what happened.
Oh, no, just keep fueling the fire. Go ahead.
Jeez, you started it.
Just pile on.
Yes.
It's my
fault. I'm blaming you.
No, it's my fault. I got to take the blame right now because it's solely my responsibility. I have jinxed the New York Yankees.
Although Mike McAllister, Brent Dax, and Jordan Capozzi all love it.
Yeah, they got to be loving this. I eat crow once in a while. It's just like I did with the brackets. I ran my mouth and got myself into trouble. I just hate that I have to give credit to Brent's baseball team. I don't like it at all. It bothers me. All right, you have fun with that if you want to. You're on the block with Brent Axe. Top of the hour. It's on the way. This is ESPN Radio. See you tomorrow at 2.